In the intervals between sifting photographs submitted by the great agencies, Keystone, Wide World, Universal, INP, and Reuter Photo, he would get peremptory instructions by telephone from a man he had never met to carry out certain simple operations requiring nothing but absolute discretion, speed, and accuracy. For these occasional services, he received £20 a month paid into his account with the Royal Bank of Canada by a fictitious relative in England. Fawcett's present assignment was to relay immediately to Bond full rates the text of messages which he received at home by telephone from his anonymous contact. He had been told by this contact that nothing he would be asked to send would arouse the suspicion of the Jamaican post office, so he was not surprised to find himself suddenly appointed string correspondent for the Maritime Press and Photo Agency, with press collect facilities to France and England, on a further monthly retainer of £10. He felt secure and encouraged, had visions of a BEM, and made the first payment on a Morris Minor. He also bought a green eyeshade, which he had long coveted, and which helped him to impose his personality on the picture desk. Some of this background to his cable passed through Bond's mind. He was used to oblique control, and rather liked it. He felt it feather-bedded him a little, allowed him to give or take an hour or two in his communications with M. He knew that this was probably a fallacy, that probably there was another member of the service at Royal Les Eaux who was reporting independently, but it did give the illusion that he wasn't only 150 miles across the channel from that deadly office building near Regent's Park, being watched and judged by those few cold brains that made the whole show work. Just as Fawcett, the Cayman Islander in Kingston, knew that if he bought that Morris Minor outright instead of signing the hire purchase agreement, someone in London would probably know, and want to know where the money had come from. Bond read the cable twice. He tore a telegram form off the pad on the desk, why give them carbon copies, and wrote his reply in capital letters. Thanks, information should suffice. Bond. He handed this to the concierge and put the cable signed Da Silva in his pocket. The employers, if any, of the concierge could bribe a copy out of the local post office, if the concierge hadn't already steamed the envelope open or read the cable upside down in Bond's hands. He took his key and said good night and turned to the stairs, shaking his head at the lift man. Bond knew what an obliging danger signal a lift could be. He didn't expect anyone to be moving on the first floor, but he preferred to be prudent.